Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
Here we go. The best time of the week. Grab a cold one out of the fridge. Rip it open and wash away your troubles.
That's why we love it.
The footy's on the radio. And how good is it? Strap yourself in because you've never heard the footy like this. Yeah. Welcome. Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network. And if you've just joined us, thank you so much for doing that. And thanks to Tyre Power, our winners so far this round. Tigers 20, Cowboys 12, Panthers 29, Knights 18, Dogs 20, Parramatta 12, Roosters 32, Warriors 0. Then, of course, last night in the doubleheader, Storm 28, Titans 14, Manly 38, Broncos 24. Those all scores are all thanks to Tyre Power. 4-20 pie might be a great way to have Mother's Day. A 4-20 pie. Some tweets coming through. This one's from Lauren in Willow Tree, listening via the app. She says, What's the go with Hoops' voice today? He sounds like a cross between Carlotta and Gus Mercurio. What is going on with your voice today, Hoops?
Mate, I've been crooked the last couple of days, Anthony, and I've lost my voice going on.
You sound like Bonnie Tyler.
No, mate, it's not like you in the old days. I haven't gone Sugar Reef, all up the taxi club, all up the Piemont Bridge Hotel
The taxi club. They were good days, weren't they? Back to our Indigenous round 10. We've all enjoyed the celebrations. And we all love that chat about our favourite Indigenous players. And then you start thinking about the areas, boys, like a place like Tinga, which has produced probably five NRL world-class players. But somebody like you, Gordy, who has an Indigenous background and play with some of the best. Yeah. What about, who was the best one to have alongside you?
Oh, you'd have to go with Stevie Renoff, wouldn't you? You know, and he's coming on soon, but I just knew Pearl that he just did things that no other player, and then when you talk about Indigenous players, like, and you talk, they all can do stuff that only they can do, like Steve Renoff's fend. And to beat the guy just the way he did it. No other player has been able to do that. The way the Greg Inglis or the Jonathan Thurston dummy or whatever they do, there's a certain traits what they do that nobody else can do. But Pearl, I played with Ricky Walford, Andrew Walker, Jeff Hardy. And
did you play with Sam Bakker?
No, I didn't play with Big Slam and Sam.
Love watching Sam.
Oh, mate, yes, he's like to mate like that as a kid. But, you know, I suppose if I had to pick one, like my favourite has been Matt Bowen. I just love where he's come from and how he's played, and I got to play with Mango probably once maybe in Origin, but to play against him and his combination, his combination with Jonathan Thurston was absolutely outstanding, and a lot of Jonathan's career I think has got to be, you know, you talk about Sterlo and Kenny and, you know, Ricky and Loz, those two were absolutely brilliant, and I know the Cowboys think that highly of him that at the new stadium. They want a statue of Matt Bowen first. Wow. Yeah, so Matt Bowen needs a statue. Like, he's just been – I think he has inspired more North Queensland kids to play rugby league than, you know, any other player, I believe.
I just like the way they go about their football. There's a naturalness to the football that it can't be found in coaching. It's the backyard style of play. You talk about, you know, we had Larry Cora featured on our 360 show a few weeks back up against Ado Carr, and just that long, graceful stride he had and the ability, once he got in space, he was just gone. And then you go players back that air, Percy Knight. Remember Percy Knight?
Yeah, I do.
And one thing you see, I talked to Johnny Lewis a lot about fighters and whatnot, and he thinks the Aboriginal race are the most natural fighters he's ever seen. They've just, because they're just natural athletes, and he says they're just beautiful movers. They've got balance that isn't inherent in most people. They've just got a great sense of balance and timing. They've got great hand eye coordination, and that comes through in boxing. And Johnny always says, if you want to find a world champion, he said, send me out in the bush and give me 6 weeks, and he'll come back with a kid. All the kid's got to do is work hard, and he'll turn him into a world champion. If the kid's got the work ethic in him, because there's so much other natural abilities within him, and that we see that in rugby league with the way they ball play. You look at the Cliff Lyons, Percy Knight, who I just spoke to, Ian Russell, who's a great ball player. They've just got a – there's like there's sixth sense there that you know, us normal folk just don't have, you know.
Yeah, like, mate, well, like to watch Peachy, and I was at Fox Sports, and they, you know, stopped and they tracked him for a try. He was in the left centre or whatever. He's just jogged across the field and scored underneath the post. But he said, I might go there because these blokes look a bit tired in here, and if they get tackled, I'm going to sniff around, like, you know, the middle of the field, and he scores a try. But only he knows to go there. There's players closer that could have scored the try, but they just don't get in the right positions away. A Peachy or a Thurston or even Dave Peachy. Like, Dave Peachy, that played for the Sharks, looked like he was walking. And everybody goes, oh, geez, Peachy, mate, he's so, you know, mate, God, he must be easy to tackle. He's moving so fast. He did everything. Well, looked like he was doing it in slow motion.
It's because he was so graceful, Gordy.
Yeah.
He was a graceful runner, and he used to get through. It's funny, I was talking to Hindy the other night about him. The one thing, the one mistake he made in his career was because he was so thin, he used to have a big baggy jersey on.
Yeah.
And so Brian Smith used to always say, look, with Peachy, if he's running past you, just throw your hand out and he'll get tangled up in his jersey. You know, like he should have taken the modern lesson and just have one of those jerseys that are three sizes too small, because he would have never been tackled with a tight jersey on, because that's how you used to hook him. Very few people got a shoulder on David Peachy. It was just generally trying to grab hold of his jersey and drag him down.
Another one that we always forget is Laurie Daly.
Yes, of course. Being Loz up. Gee, he was a good player. Like, his Laurie's defence, I think sometimes you see the highlight reels and he's scoring tries and he's setting them up. And he had that brilliant combination with Ricky, and he could play in the centres. But the thing that I remember most about Laurie was he tackled like a back rower a lot of the time, Gordon.
Yeah, that shot on Andrew G in Origin when he just came out of line, just push go.
Yeah, he could stop them all.
Boys, the beautiful thing is it keeps on coming, the production line of wonderful Indigenous players. We look even over this weekend, last few weekends, Josh Adokar, James Roberts, Cody Walker. I could go on and on.
Yeah, but we got to make sure that they're always in our game. And that's with weight division, because at junior level, like, there's so many big kids. You know, like, then my son's playing and, you know, they're 55 kilos. They're marking kids that are 70, 80, 90 kilos. And, you know, I'm just worried sometimes that the little Alan Langer or that coming through, Preston Campbell, Jonathan Thurston, stays in the game and stays at it.
You look at a bloke like Chris Sandow. Because he was nuggety, he probably got a little bit further, but he was very short, and he came through as a halfback, and he was going to be anything at one point. But the game needs to be mindful of the fact that we need to maintain that possibility, and this is where it comes into the interchange thing. We need to maintain that possibility that the naturally smaller kids, of which there are many of those type of kids, have still got a place in the game.
And the way the NRL is going, putting people in boxes, pigeonholing every player, this is what you're going to do for the team, actually doesn't suit someone with skill. Mm. I always said, I work with Chrissy Sandow at South. 30 points to 28, he beats Darren Lockyer. 10-8, Darren Lockyer beats him every day of the week. Sick into a game plan, Cooper Cronk. But you get an open scoring game with the same side. Chris Sandow will come up with better plays, and he's got that much ability. His kicking game was second. Like, he's like, he was just unbelievable, but obviously because he didn't stick to the routine, didn't stick to it, he's a bit like a Milford in a Hunt. If they had someone like a Green outside him that steered the side around, and Chrissy, you can do whatever you want, be perfect.
Okay, Sunday Triple M NRL, Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Anthony Marin. Just talking about some of the great Indigenous players of all time. Stick with us, because still to come, we've got Mal Meninga, Rugby League royalty and the Australian coach coming up, the Black Pearl as well, and we'll talk about that game this afternoon, which kicks off at 2 o'clock between the Rabbitohs and the Dragons. That is going to be one of the biggest games this year, so the boys will have plenty to say about that. But Mal Meninga next as Triple M Rocks the Footy.
Welcome back. Triple M Rocks Footy.
And welcome back to Sunday Triple M NRL right across the Triple M network. Still to come, Steve Renoff. We are talking Indigenous round at the moment. One of the biggest guests we've had on the show so far this year. He played 166 games for the Canberra Raiders, 32 games for Queensland, mind you, 46 games for Australia, then went on to coach the Canberra Raiders for 125 games. He coached Queensland. He coaches Australia as well. He needs no introduction, and we love to get him on in Indigenous round. Mal Meninga, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
I ain't getting bigger too, just quietly.
Hey, Mal, I was just looking at all those wonderful stats about you, and I'm thinking, The boys are talking about their favourite Indigenous player. So you come into grade in the Brisbane comp, into first grade in about 1979, 1980. Who was your favourite Indigenous players of the time?
Oh, Beto, absolutely.
Yep.
Big Arthur, you know. So I had the pleasure, obviously, of playing with him and being coached by him over a number of years. But it was really a special moment, 1980, State of Origin, first game. Was just enormous to be in his presence, to be honest with you. And, with him and a few others, you know, the catalyst for how successful State of Origin is today, you know. So, but he was bigger than life and really proud of his Indigenous ancestry and, and promoted his peoples until the day he passed away, unfortunately.
Mal, just on Beto in that first Origin game, have you got any memories of... We all remember Kevy, I thought spoke wonderfully the other night about the impact of the roar when Beaton ran out in that first game. But have you got memories like from the dressing room before the game and looking around, seeing him in the dressing room and what effect that had?
Kenny, I think first and foremost thing that struck me was his presence and the aura around him. I remember they did a testimonial for him and Pro Hart did a painting of him in a shearing set coming through the door, larger than life with the sun behind him. It was like a halo effect. I think it went for about 30 grand, I think, at the time. But that was a sort of picture. I mean, it was just larger than life. And when he got serious about things, because he's pretty jovial character, as everyone knows. He's, you know, he loves a good time and he's got a really hearty laugh and, you know, he loves his cards, loves eating, you know, but also loved the game. But when he got serious, he spoke from the heart. You can see tears well in his eyes about how important that first Origin game was. And that's the thing that struck me. And, you know, for me personally, and, you know, talk to Wally and Chris Close and Kerry Bosted, I mean, we're never going to let him down. And I think, you know, that's why we hold him so much awe, and that's why we sort of think about him in terms of, you know, his mere presence is what helped achieve, you know, the State of Origin status it is today, you know. So that's the thing that appealed to me, you know, right from the beginning. And then he wrote a letter to me, you know, when he was coaching around, you know, how proud he was of me and my Indigenous background around the South Sea, Australian South Sea Island, what a credit I was to my peoples. And that's the thing that's lived for me for, you know, 37 years, Kenny, you know. So, I mean, those are the sort of things that the impact he had on me as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Arthur, I think anybody that's come in contact with Arthur knew how special he was as a guy. But as a player, Mel, I was seven when it was that first game of Origin. So I've only sort of heard about the legend. What is there a player that has played over the last sort of 10 or 20 years that have showed glimpses of what Arthur could
do?
No.
He was special. He was special. He was consistent as well. That's the other thing. You know?
What made him so special, mate?
At that time, obviously, you know, he still having the train regime that they have today, but his speed, maybe his agility, his ability to pass in tackles, his skill set, you know, he could pass before the line, he'd pass in the tackle and beyond the line, he could make breaks. And we're talking about a front row forward, you know, so, you know, when you talk about athleticism and the way he played, I mean, there's only probably one play, maybe Glenn Lazarus, but Lazo still didn't have the skill that Arthur had, you know, in the game. He started off as a centre, obviously, so, you know, he had that knack of, you know, finding space and, you know, finding space for others, and he made people around him, you know, better players.
Yeah, he certainly is an absolute icon of the game, Mal, and it's fantastic that we still celebrate him. I wanted to ask you about when you were coaching that.
What's going on with your voice loops? What's going on with
mate, yeah, I've had laryngitis for the last couple of days, mate. So, yeah,
thank heavens for that. Jesus
oh,
Christ.
Mate, I know, yeah. Don't worry, I've got the strepsils out. Mate, I wanted to ask you about when you were coach of that fantastic Queensland team. Who were some of your favourite Indigenous players in that side?
Oh, Greg and John Hodjo. Sammy, you know, they're all special people and special players. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, some of those great players, I mean, this it should be remembered that they're just great people, first and foremost, and, you know, great character, and they love the game of footy, and they exuded that. They love putting the jersey on, you know, they didn't want to let people down. But, you know, the other thing that pleased me most of all is who they are today and how they... you know, have grown as a person, and how they, now particularly with the inception of the All-Stars, this All-Stars game, how they've, you know, grown to be great community people as well, and, you know, how they go out there and promote, and, you know, by their mere actions, you know, represent the Indigenous community, you know, in a very high way.
What more can we be doing, Mel?
I don't think there's much more we can be doing, to be honest with you. I think
we're happy with
it. I think the game recognises Indigenous culture extremely well. Probably for me, from being you know, internal sort of optimist, and, you know, trying to be, you know, creative, I think we should have a magic weekend. You know, I think from around the Indigenous space, so all 16 teams go to a particular venue. Could be Suncorp, you know, could be ANZ Stadium, could be MCG, and we all 16 teams play over an Indigenous round. You know, so that, you know, I just think that would be a great spectacle, and, you know, have all the teams in one city at the one time would be sensational for, and to obviously, you know, part of that would be part of the festival of, you know, promoting Indigenous, you know, concepts and ideas, you know, around the whole week.
The culture, yeah. Mel, yeah, just take you in another direction. You're part of the competition committee. You were there at Friday's meeting, and we understand that the discussion of bringing the interchange from 8 down to 6 was brought up. Can I get your thoughts on that?
Well, at this stage, you know, the discussion was just about doing a study to have a look at firstly the game and how that's tracking, and also, you know, from a player health and welfare point of view. We believe there's a few other things that need to take place initially. I think there's a lot of dead time in the game at the moment. I think Wayne made really good comments the other day about all that, and I'm thinking, you know, that's probably a priority for us at the moment, so as to get that all right and to get more game time happening. And
how do we do that, Mel?
Oh, well, yes, you know, obviously, you know, we're taking a kick for goal. We do it a lot quicker, and if he gets in, being to get off the field a bit quicker, and just those little things, those incremental things that are slowing the game down at the moment, you know.
Sorry to interrupt, but is that a clock thing you're looking at bringing in, or is that more with the referee basically saying, you guys get a hurry up or I'm going to penalise you for being slow?
Yeah, I think we'll try the referees first, and then obviously warnings. I think the clubs will get memos around it all very soon, you know, about, you know, trying to quicken the game up. So I think that's really important. And then once we get that dead time right, I reckon, and then we look at the fatigue factor then, and then see, you know, how players are tracking, and, you know, look at the welfare of the players and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah. But they're still going to do a study on it in the meantime. And then, you know, we wouldn't make any decisions, you know, coming out of me, wouldn't make any decisions for, you know, a year or two yet.
Is there an appetite within that? So you're saying a year or two before you look at the reducing the change any further?
Well, we've got to look at, you know, like seeing how the penalties are tracking at the moment with the 10 metres and the ground and the ruck area itself. Look at how it reduced the dead time in a game, and then we look at, you know, then we look at a more longitudinal study on how, you know, the fatigue factor is starting to integrate into the game.
Is there an appetite to introduce more fatigue though, and actually get to the point where we do have tired players?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So there is welfare is the number one priority of players, and then obviously fatigue is another issue where we think we can, you know, make the game more attractive, and, you know, bring in the quicker, smarter, you know, halves and things like that into the game, and, you know, make it a bit more open.
Yeah. What other ideas did you discuss looking at in that meeting?
Oh, just some general things, you know, just around that was a major focus. You know, dead time. Looking at how the referees are tracking, and looking at, you know,
any discussion on the penalties?
Well, there was, but we're happy with the way things are tracking again at the moment. You know, I mean, obviously there was some issues early in the season, but, you know, as the players and the coaches have become, they know now that not going to change attitudes, and they're adapting their coaching to it all. I think it's starting to, in my opinion, starting to enhance the game, and I think it's become a better spectacle because of it.
Gordon was complaining earlier about how Queensland are really struggling to find players this year, and they're underdogs. And, you know, New South Wales has got such a bevy and wealth of talent there that it's quite easy for the Blues to sort of sit down and pick a side. But how do you see Origin? I'm sure your views are vastly different from Gordon's.
No, none at all. No, not really. How good is he? Got so many men. New South Wales media got that many players selected in the New South Wales side. It must be confusing.
I know. Mate, I thought it was all three grades. Origin's gone to all three grades.
Exactly.
We've been picking reserve grade for the past few years.
Well, Mel, thanks so much for coming on the show today, mate. I just wanted to point out that you did upset Hoops with what you said about his voice. That's why he hasn't said anything since you...
Oh, I told him I had to, apparently by use fellas. So don't blame me, Hoops. Hey, Hoops.
All good, Mel.
That's the guys on the panel there.
Good on you, Mel. We'll catch you on Fox League, mate.
Yo, cheers. Thanks, guys.
Good on you. All the best. And that's Mel Meninga joining us for Indigenous Round of the NRL. And the special guests continue because the Black Pearl, Steve Renoff, is about to join us as well.
Wow.
Coming up.
There was just a great story about Arthur Beetz, and obviously at his funeral I was talking to Michael Cronin, like one of his teammates, and he said that they were playing a game at the SCG and this Pommy kept on hitting people high in that, and he hit Arthur, and Arthur turned to the referee and said, tell that bloke to stop it, and he didn't. About 10 minutes later they come together and a bloke hit Arthur high again, and he said Arthur turned, he goes, he hit him with this punch that would have travelled 6 inches, knocked the bloke out. And Mick Cronin said, everybody in the team went, note to self, never annoy Arthur Beetson when you play. He goes, he hit him that hard and that short. He goes, the bloke just fell asleep.
All right, boys, I've got some information coming through from regarding Cameron Smith at the moment. Cameron Smith has been charged 1 week with early plea, grade 2 charge. So we'll keep an eye on that. Just repeating, Cam Smith has been charged 1 week with early guilty plea, grade 2 charge. This is Sunday Triple M NRL. Very shortly, Steve Renoff as Triple M rocks the footy. Sunday Triple M NRL, and not late to join the Triple M footy tipping comp. Just go to the app, triplem.com.au. Get the Triple M NRL app, and then you can, of course, listen to the Rabbitohs Dragons game, which kicks off in about half hour's time. We'll give you score updates right across the Triple M network too, all thanks to Tyre Power. Gordon Tallis, Paul Kent, and so too James Hooper and Maroon. And it is Indigenous Round, so we've had some really special guests on today. Mal Meninga being the first one. Then we get a Broncos legend. A guy went over and played, I think, 70, 75 games too for the Wigan Warriors. He is an Origin legend and an Australian Rugby League legend. His name is Steve Renouf, and he's joining us on the line now. Steve, welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL.
Hey, thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Good to have you on here, mate. What are you doing with yourself these days?
Mate, most of my work is with what we call the Deadly Choices program, which is up here in out of Brisbane, and we're sort of going all nationally with that, and it's around getting Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people to get our health checks, and so we've been doing a lot of good work in that area for the last 7 years.
That's good stuff, mate. All your wonderful career playing with the Broncos, just shy of 200 games, but I think for me that grand final try when you just left them all for dead, that's the one everyone would be asking.
How was it called, Maroon?
The famous Rabs call. We haven't seen a lot of him today. Yeah. Now take a look at him.
Yeah, that's true too. They didn't see much of me that day. I was a bit shy of the ball that day. But look, you know, that was a very special time, obviously, for us as a team and for me personally. But, you know, that was just a typical Bronco try that we've been doing all year. We just happened to do one on the grand final.
Yeah.
Bucko, congratulations on the Hall of Fame. What would it mean for someone like yourself to come from Mergan, like a tiny little Aboriginal community, to, you know, put your name up in lights for one, but be known as one of the greatest players ever to play the game?
Oh, Gordy, I'm just sort of I'm happy and blessed that I was recognised in the 25. You know, that would do me. You know, I said if they were giving out jerseys, whatever, I'd happy to take number 25. And it was just, I think it's great of the NRL to recognise, you know, past players, even with that nomination, you know. And I know a lot of my community anyway, family and friends are proud of what I've done anyway. But you know, they're nice things to have said about you and to be a part of.
Hey, what about that famous apple? I was playing for the Dragons when you probably scored that try, but. Who come up with it? How was it invented? And what's your favourite try?
Mate, I can tell you that was actually Chris Johns and Kevin Walters' thing. They did it prior to me, and I just borrowed it on the left side. And so they used to do it a fair bit together, and I've actually saw them do it in a test match together. And it was just something that we then, something that Kevin and I worked on personally. Obviously, Johnsy moved on, and it's just something we developed. You know, it's just one of those things that we did, and after, as you know, half the time I didn't want to do them, but I was forced into doing them.
Absolutely. Hey, I tell you, and you had a little bit more success than Johnsy too, the old dingo on the right.
Two damn good players, Pearl. I tell you what, it looked pretty damn good when you rolled it out as well. What I wanted to ask you is, it's a terrific round, Indigenous round. Who are some of your favourite Indigenous players that you played with and that you played against?
I said the other day that I used to love watching Steve Aller play, the Zip Zip Man, and, you know, we sort of, you know, used to follow Parramatta, my family liked Parramatta, I like the Roosters, but, you know, Chicka Ferguson, all those guys, you know, it was just, watching those boys run around, and obviously Artie Beetson, you know, and I didn't get to see too much of Artie's playing career, but... you know, just to meet the man and know what he did in the game. He's an immortal. And, for us players, it was just something awesome to actually get to watch those boys play.
I remember, mate, talking to Mark Eller, and he's obviously a cousin of Steve Eller and was a pretty good footballer himself and two very good footballing brothers. And he said one day that of the four of them, Steve was the most talented and was always the one that gave them the most trouble. But fair testament. He had a career marked by injury, but he was a hell of a player, wasn't he?
He was. You know, he got to play Origin. He played for his country and I think he won four grand finals, you know. It sort of, he goes under the radar a bit. And I used to love watching him. I used to love the call too. You know, the Zip Zip Man, and you know, it was just one of the, he was a very special player.
It's important to have a good nickname, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
How did you get the nickname the Pearl, mate?
It all went back to when we used to have the old reserve grade, and we were just I think it came from the Black Pearl, Allery Hanley, but we were just playing a game of touch at training, and I scored a try, and one of the boys yelled out, I think it was Brooke Kennedy, yelled out, "It's a Black Pearl," and that was it. It stuck.
But Steve, Gordy calls you Bucko. Do you want to explain that one to us?
Yeah, that's my nickname. Not many guys call me that. Gordy's one of them, and it's a nickname I got from home. Came with my namesake, obviously, Stephen, and my middle name, Colin, which comes from one of my uncles, and his nickname was Bucko too, right. So I just inherited it.
Hey, Steve, what about, before we let you go, mate, just on the current Broncos crop, you obviously keep an eye on them. You're still in that part of the world. What do you think of... A, last night's performance, and B, overall?
Chunky. Clunky. I don't know. You know, it's... I shouldn't say chunky. It's clunky. They're just not consistent enough that they need to be. And, you know, I know Wayne would think that too. And they're just a little bit up and down for me at the moment. But if they, you know, they'll come out with a good win. Like, we'll talk about them this week, obviously, with the loss. And I don't know how Manly came about to win that match, but they did, and that's what we got to be aware of. But we'd just like to see them a bit more consistent, you know, week to week with wins.
Hey, Pearl, sorry, mate. What about the what about Origin? There's been talk about the bloke that's going to stand outside GI, Darius, obviously Corey Oates or Val Holmes. Which one would you have?
Oh, mate, you got to. That's a tough one, Gordy. Just depending on form, and I know Darius has done a good job there, but as I said, you know, I reckon even if you sat on the wing outside of GI, you'll look good, you know, because he's such a good player. So any one of those finishes, but you know, Val Holmes, the way he played, obviously Origin and with the Australian World Cup, I mean, he's probably the front runner for me. I'd just like to probably give those young guys a run. And look at Corey. He's killing at the moment. So, you know, he wouldn't look too bad on the bench, to be honest, Corey Oates.
What about your halves, Pearl? Do you like Ben Hunt and Cameron Munster in your 7 and 6 and Michael Morgan on the bench?
That's my pick. And I think most, you know, the form's on the board for those two. Definitely Ben Hunt and Munster at 6. And look... That 14 is going to be tough. Michael Morgan's starting to, you know, turn his form around a bit, and I think they'll stick with incumbents. So more than likely, I think Munster will be there. But as I said, you know, Corey Oates could always fit in there if he misses out in the wing spot. You can fill in the second row as well.
All right. Well, Steve, thanks so much for joining us today, mate. I hope you enjoy the rest of the Indigenous round. If we can help you in any way with the work you're doing in the Indigenous community, mate, just sing out.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
Good on you. There he is, Steve Renouf, joining us on Sunday Triple M NRL. I'm just having a look at the Rabbitohs Dragons side. Dragons look to me like they are 1 through 17. There is one or two slight changes to Souths, which I will have a look at there and get back to you about that very shortly, because the boys will want to have a talk about this game, among other things. Rabbitohs, Dragons coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll have all the score updates for you there. Just repeating that earlier news, Cam Smith has been charged after last night's game against the Titans. 1 week with the early guilty plea. It's a grade 2 charge. Sunday Triple M NRL. It's all thanks to Ream with Gordy Tallis, Paul Kent, James Hooper and Anthony Marin. Will take a break and come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M footy.
Welcome to Sunday Triple M NRL. Hope everybody is having a wonderful Mother's Day, a happy Mother's Day to you wherever you might be. I hope you're spoiling your mum. If you've left it too late, go past the servo and get her some flowers or get her some scratchies. But just, you can't not get her anything, all right?
Did you get your mum something nice, Anthony?
Oh, well, I would, but she passed away 6 years ago.
I'm very sorry.
So thanks for bringing that up. No, it's all good. Yeah, but
what about your wife? Did you get her something nice?
Well, I was going to pay for them, the wife, the daughter, and the mother-in-law to go for lunch. That would have been a real psycho convention, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But they decided they'd stay home, so maybe I'll take...
For lunch in Perth, I think you were going to send them to.
Yeah, so maybe I'll take them somewhere tonight.
Well, let's just wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day,
okay,
Anthony.
Thank you
That's
very much.
That's the key message.
And a lot of the mothers are texting through, they hope your voice gets better.
I've eaten half a packet of strips.
Would I be prepared to rub some Vicks into your chest, which I will. It's the completion of the show
today.
But you don't have to have your shirt off to rub Vicks into his chest.
Stick your shirt, please. Don't worry about mine.
Can you leave your clothes on, Anthony?
Yes, I can.
It's not that hot.
Well, it's hot enough.
No, actually, no, you're not that hot.
It's hot enough here under these big lights, but I am prepared to put my trousers back on at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Boys, let's talk about that 2 o'clock game, which is the Dragons and the Rabbitohs, and they're two great old rivals, and they're both doing so well this year. Much has been said about the Dragons. They've only lost one game, and they take on their old rivals, the Rabbitohs, today, who have just been, I think, scoring an average of 25 points a game, which is wonderful if you're a Rabbitohs supporter. An important one, I suppose, too, for the Dragons here, Hoops, because going into Origin, which is still 3 or 4 weeks away, they will lose quite a few players, you would think.
Yeah, they're going to lose some players. There's no question, the Dragons. Look, I love this game, Anthony. I love everything about it. Sammy Burgess back for the Bunnies is massive. He goes up against his old sparring partner, Jimmy Graham. This game was close last time they played, which was only last month. So, look, I expect it to be probably the game of the round, and it's guaranteed to deliver. The Dragons are on top of the comp, and your Bunnies are punching along nicely too.
Mm. Oh, they've shown no signs of wavering, have they, the Dragons?
No.
Yeah, you've seen West begin fast, and they've come a little bit. Yeah, the wheels have fallen off a little bit, and then the Warriors in recent weeks, but the Dragons have shown no signs. They have been helped out by the fact that very few injuries.
They've had the same starting 13 every week. So that happens again this round in round 10. That's 10 weeks straight, same starting 13 players and only minor adjustments on their bench. They went over to New Zealand and the Warriors, that was a really tough game. Yeah. I think they had a little bit more possession than the Warriors, but the Warriors managed to get the job done on them that night. But aside from that, they've continually improved, Kenty. And last week against the Melbourne Storm, Gordon,
I thought that was going to be the biggest challenge. I think it was 20 points to 12 when they went over to the Warriors, and that was, an upset. But then to play against Melbourne, to play the way they did and score as many points as they did, that made the Dragons fans, they're going to come out of the woodwork though. This is a traditional clash. But the Dragons forward packers, what I like about them is they've all got their role and they're doing it. They're not pretending that they're anything else. And it was a great Glenn Lazarus, didn't pretend he was anything else but a front row out there to get metres. And that's when I look at the St. George pack, they're doing a role. You look at Tarik Sims on the edge, the pressure he puts on the 6 or 7, or the bloke going to pass in front of him, they've got to make a decision quicker than what they do most weeks because of the pressure. And then you've got Frizzell, you know, that's probably an Origin walk-up, I believe. And everybody's doing their job. And they're talking about Jack DeBallon, who's right in the middle. He's hitting in the middle as hard as anybody, to a point when they played the Anzac Day test and the Roosters. Sorry, Anzac Day game. Yep. The Roosters took the 2 after 3 or 4 sets. So their defence is absolutely unbelievable. They're tying in for each other. And when they're working, it's becoming easy because they're actually tying in and they're working really hard for each other.
As a unit, Gordon, are they the best forward pack in the competition at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. James Graham is as tough as anything, and they say that his work ethic is unbelievable. You've got Vaughan that is just so athletic for a front row, for a big guy. The way he runs, he looks fast. He gets between guys. Big motor. And then their back three, like their back rows are uncompromising. Tyson Frizzell, the way he runs, you know, talk about coming off the back fence. He comes off the back fence. He's got a little late footwork and he moves between guys really good. and he wants the collision. He makes it personal when he carries the ball. Tarik Sims makes it personal on anybody that's in front of him. And Jack DeBellin is itching to get to that next level, and he's just playing out of his skin at the moment. And then you get the blokes that come off the bench like Lattimore and that, and then they just all come on and do their job. It's hard because, you know, when you picked out someone and you could get over the top of someone and then everybody else goes, they're playing as a pack. It's hard to beat them all up.
Has it surprised you? Tarik Sims last year, he played in the middle and he was coming off the bench for the Dragons. This year, they've moved him to the left edge because Joel Thompson departs. Has it surprised you how much he has kicked on?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
He always had raps on him coming through, and then he probably plateaued a little because of injuries and other issues. But the way he's played this season.
I think he's just found his confidence. He was a game breaker when he came in.
As a kid.
And everybody sat there and thought, wow, this kid is going to be something special.
Yep.
He then had two very badly broken legs. Which really knocked his confidence around as much as any. The first leg was a nasty break. It looked poor. He went down. He came back from that, and you sort of throw off one of those type injuries as, well, that's just the luck of the game. It just happens. Yeah. But then when he had the second one, and it was very similar, and it was, again, an extremely bad break where both the fibula and the tibia broke and the leg got all floppy down the bottom and all the rest of it. Suddenly, I think that really affected his confidence. And I think this is the first season we've seen that back in him, that confidence. And he is on the way now back to being, I think, an Origin player where he was intended
both
to go
states
about four
over
years
him,
ago.
Didn't they? So both states, you know, were fighting over him because I think he spent some time at the Broncos or in Queensland or at the Cowboys, and we thought that.
Well, yeah, God, banana one, so I think that's what qualified him for you blokes to try and get him. But
No, well, his brother is Corbin, is a Queenslander, so it was strange because the three brothers picked, I think one was playing for Fiji, one picked Queensland, one picked New South Wales, Paul. So it was an each-way bet. We just lost it. It was a toss of a coin.
Okay, boys, what about
double-headed?
Tipping a winner here for this one, Dragons or the Rabbitohs, Gordy?
I'm going to tip an upset. I think the Rabbits, last time I think it was 16 points to 12, the Rabbits had
Sammy Burgess didn't play that day.
And then Sammy's back. I saw him at a Fox through the week, and GI, the last time they played, when Hugh and Aiken got the points and it was publicised, that ain't good for Ewan. Today's a real challenge up against you.
Oregon's good if his young player wants to prove himself. What better opportunity than to know Greg Inglis is coming at you with a score to settle? It's a great place for Ewan Aiken.
How good.
It's set up perfectly. If Ewan Aiken can put in another one of those performances where he holds Greg Inglis and perhaps he has a moment like that moment where he scored that brilliant try, well, he wins the New South Wales right centre jumper. If he can show today that wasn't just a one-off game, then,
And then when Greg pulls the maroon jersey on, he turns into the different beast.
But I tell you that, Ewan Aiken is one of the best in the game at being the first defender.
Yes.
And that's just what he does so well. And his ability to stand up and a defender opposite him, to get the defender to sit back on his heels and take all the speed out of his line, moving up, he's remarkable at it. And I don't think that was a fluke, the way he stood up Inglis. I think everything he did there, he's been doing
it for 10 weeks, and he did a bit of it last year.
He's been doing it all his life, Gordon. He's just getting better at it. He's to the point now where he's doing it against great players.
Yeah, and I just saw some footage because the game's on in the background, and the Dragons forwards all got in a circle and linked arms, and everybody, and Dean Young was, you know, and do you know what I reckon? I'm not a lip reader. Boys, who's going to give it to Sam Burgess? So who's going to stand up to the South Sydney forward pack? And they all just looked at each other in their eyes. So that's a pack. That is a bunch of men that are willing to do whatever it takes.
We've got to be quick here. Kenny, who wins this one, mate?
Dragons.
What about you, Hoops?
I'm going to go the Dragons in a really tight one.
All right. So the boys have tipped the Dragons. Gordy's tipped an upset, but we'll keep you posted with those scores.
Coming last in the footy tipping comp by so far. It's not funny.
It's been a very hard year, Gordon, to tip winners this year.
Thank you, Anthony.
Cameron Smith has been charged 1 week with early guilty plea. That's a grade 2
What's
charge.
That? He's been charged with an early guilty plea.
I beg your pardon. Sorry, I'm looking at the clock.
You are. Seriously.
Cameron Smith has been charged 1 week with an early guilty plea. Grade 2 charge. Have I got that right now?
No. He's been charged.
I'm charging you, Anthony, for not getting it right.
Grade 2 charge, 1 week with an early guilty plea.
He's been charged with grade two dangerous contact, Anthony.
The clock to
grade
look at.
Grade 2 dangerous contact.
I've got to put
contact.
Up with you, gibberers, and I've got to get this information out about Cam
Smith.
We'll
get the right information out. Mm. Grade 2 dangerous contact. If he takes the early plea, it's a week. If he fights the charge, it's 2 weeks.
Okay, that's it. Thank you very much. Paul, Kent, Gordon, Tallis, and Hoops. Hoops, we say goodbye to you. Get well.
Thanks, Bruin.
And Ryan Girdler joins us next on Sunday Triple M NRL.